Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 4th, 2013, episode 606, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's thinking.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time. I need to figure that out.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. Welcome to Horses in the Morning. We hope you had a terrific weekend. And I got to tell you, Jamie, that I think that little rodent groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil, was absolutely wrong and entirely hungover or drunk at the time he said that spring was going to come early. Just saying.
Really? Is it? Are you actually cold in Florida, Glenn?
Well, you know, I think Mother Nature every once in a while likes to remind us Floridians that it's cold in other parts of the world and that we shouldn't take what the beautiful weather we have here 90% of the time for granted. So this morning it was 27 degrees when I took the dog for a walk.
Oh, so, my gosh.
I know. I know. Yeah, it was a little bit chilly out there.
But I've got to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Just going to the dog walking thing. Are you one of those guys that walks down the road, and I'm going to give you three choices, that walks down the road with the leash on that's attached to your dog that has the little baggie attached to the leash, or is it in your pocket, or do you not take a baggie and you let your dog poop on other people's yard?
Nope, the baggie is the little thingy's attached to the leash.
Oh, you have a fancy one.
Yes. I'm one of those guys, and yes, we do clean up after our dogs, but I will say that that is not true for all of our neighbors.
Of course not.
It seems like there's always one neighbor, isn't there?
That would be me.
you don't clean up after your doggies? Shame on you.
Well, of course I do, but there's been times in my life where, you know what, I'm just going to let you out. You won't run away. Just go come back when you're done. So,
we've never had that luxury. When you own greyhounds, you can't do that. Because they will run away and you won't see them.
When you own border collies, they won't leave your side. So it's hard enough to get them to go out without you. So
I say pewee to the little groundhog. And you know what? There's supposed to be a blizzard, a big nor'easter heading up. They're always in March in the Northeast. When we lived in Pennsylvania, you could expect your worst blizzard in March. And it looks like that's supposed to hit the middle of the week. This week, it's for all the way from North Carolina through Pennsylvania, are expecting a foot or more of snow and blizzard-like conditions. So if that one turns out, it'll be the big March blizzard of the year, which, as I said, always happens. For some reason, you get your big one in March.
Well, I've got so much family coming in, and my sister-in-law called me yesterday and was like, okay, what do I need to pack clothing-wise? And I was like, well, let's see. You know, I don't know, because it's gotten to 80. It's about 80 here every afternoon. But to me, that's still like it's an Arizona 80. So it's kind of cold because it's so dry. So I wear like a long sleeve T-shirt at 80 here in Arizona. And then, you know, like I wear long pants. Or I broke out the little maternity shorts every once in a while. So I've got those going for me. But then I said, you know, but the problem is, and I was looking at the weather, I'm like, oh, my gosh, Saturday, it's going to be cold. So you may want to bring some outfits that are, like, ready for cold. And she was like, well, how cold is it going to get? I was like, dude, it's getting the high is going to be 66. Apparently, that was not funny to somebody who lives in Oklahoma. They're like, you would kill for 66.
They'll be in shorts and a tank top.
She's going to be laying out in the front yard in a bikini.
We are spoiled. We know it. For all the listeners out there, Jamie and Jennifer and I, we all know we're spoiled. But we do like our weather, I will say. Well, Jennifer,
we also have our equivalency of winter is in July and August and September and June and maybe part of October.
When you're at 120 degrees and we're at 99 degrees and 100% humidity. Yeah.
Exactly. It all evens out.
Yep. Jennifer.
Yes. On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, it is all about the learning curve today. For example, when Glenn searched for something fun to do over the weekend and ended up spending Saturday night with a sheriff's deputy and four scientists, what did he learn?
Oh,
and
God.
Next, we check out the United States Pony Club e-membership program and pizza. And after that, the class schedule features Monty Roberts University's own Debbie Laux and Sue Kane. They're going to stop by and tell us about a new book they co-wrote. And right before the bell rings, signaling the end of the day, Wiley, the voice of Horse Nation, will stop by to answer the question, are horse people crazier than they used to be?
Could they get any crazier? My Daily Winnie goes out to all the ESMA winners. The Equestrian Social Media Awards were announced last week, all throughout the week. And I am sorry to say that we did not win in our category, but we had some serious competition, and one of our friends won. So congratulations to Horse and Country TV for winning the Best Broadcast Media, which I think was category 19. Second was RFD TV. Third was USEF Network. And fourth was Equiday Life. So congratulations to our friends over there at Horse and Country TV. Yes.
Yeah, whatever. Congrats. You're a big media conglomerate. We don't really care. So check this out. There's a first place. There's a second place. There's a third place. There's a fourth place. Where the hell were we?
About seventh, I would say. I didn't even look. They didn't even classify the ones below fourth. We were just all lumped in as also ran.
Also ran, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's just awful. Equiday Life, we couldn't beat them. Who the hell are they? Nobody cares.
I don't know. I don't know. I thought about that, too. I said, I got to look them up. I don't even know who they are.
That's because nobody, you know what? They have, like, more employees than we do, and they all voted. Lame.
But look, we had two big TV networks that were first and second. So
you know what? I don't want to be nominated next year. Can we just not be nominated? This is pathetic. This is, like, embarrassing.
Our one claim to fame was the first year they had the awards, we did win Best Newcomer. But then everybody was a newcomer that year because it was the first year for the awards, and I think we had 10 more listeners that were than some of the others. So we won that year. But if you remember right, that year was mostly based on voting. Remember, it was all voting, and now they have judges, and it's all these criteria and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently we don't qualify for. All right, it's your turn.
All right, I'm going to do this quick and just get past it and not talk about it again. My Daily Winnie goes out to my friends, family, and all the listeners who are also friends at this point, you know, for posting unbelievably supportive stuff on my Facebook page. I had the worst weekend of my entire life and had the saddest thing happen to me that has ever happened to me in my entire life in a giant ball of flame, you know, just something that you cannot even imagine happening. And I haven't even been able to talk to Chad about it. You know, I did post something about it on Facebook, but it is 1/10 of the detail of how awful what happened to me over the weekend was. And I lost my best friend, my dog, Brett. And it was just an unbelievably tragic moment in my life that I'll never forget. And I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who has written such nice things and supportive things to me on my Facebook page and called and emailed and it's nice to know that, you know, you're not alone sometimes when stuff like that happens. So I just want to say thank you to everybody, and I love you guys.
Well, we're giving you all a big virtual hug here. All the listeners.
Thanks.
And Jennifer and I giving you a big virtual
hug.
Yeah.
You sent me a
Jamie
nice message,
her hug.
Too. I
Jamie likes
it.
Her hugs. Yes, she does.
I do.
All right. We want to remind everybody to do some housekeeping things here before we got a lot of guests lined up for today. But I wanted to remind you that the Wheel of Trivia will be on Wednesday. Call in at 9:05 and get in line to win hundreds of dollars of prizes. We have some new stuff on the wheel this week, too, that you're probably going to get a chance to win. So give us a call at 9:05 on Wednesday at 347-637-3238. Jamie and I and Jennifer, we've been having a blast with this. It's been so much fun for us, and from the feedback we've been getting, it sounds like the listeners are having fun with it, too. So don't be afraid to call in. You know, we don't bite. Well, I don't. Jamie does, but I don't.
You're.
and if we don't mind when little ones call in. We ask that they be around 9 or 10 years old so that they can actually understand and speak and answer questions. But you did a good job with that one last week. I was very impressed. So we have all kinds
that
of
was,
stuff that you could win.
Sad thing is that was all the material I have. So from now on, I have nothing else to say to a 9-year-old.
You'll
That's
learn.
It.
You'll learn. You're going to get a lot of practice over the next 9 years. Well, I also wanted to mention that we have a new player that is on the website, and the old player was not working well, and I realized that. We got a lot of feedback. Thanks to everybody who wrote in and said, I can't get this to play on my phone. Well, now you can. If you have an iPhone or if you have an Android phone, any kind of smartphone, you can go to our website or any of the websites for the shows here on the Horse Radio Network. Go to horsesinthemorning.com, pick a show that you want to listen to, click on it, and you'll see a great big player. You just hit the play button, and it works fine. You can stream the show right from your phone, so you don't have that problem anymore. I just wanted to mention to everybody that the player is working. And, of course, you can listen to us on iTunes, the recorded version of the show. You can download it every day, and you just search for Horses in the Morning on iTunes, and you can listen. It'll be automatically downloaded to your player, and you can listen from there as well. But 60% of our audience now listens from iTunes, so
okay,
we appreciate that, too.
Yeah, all the details, all the geeky stuff you have to say. Tell me what the heck is going on with the sheriff's department. Why did you get arrested and thrown in jail this weekend?
We can talk about that later. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Seriously, you're gonna let me just tell you, listeners.
Well, we have
let me
a guest coming
you,
up.
I know, but I got to tell the listeners a little backstory here. Usually, in the world of Glenn and Jamie's pre-show meeting, something like this would happen, and Glenn will say, oh, yeah, I had a little run-in with the sheriff's department. This is just an example, because those words have never been uttered by Glenn. But using that as an example, I had a little run-in with the sheriff's department, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to hear about it. And he's like, well, here's what happened, blah, blah, blah. And he starts telling me about it. And I say to him all the time, save it. Save it, save it, save it, save it. Or he'll ask me a question. I'm like, I'll tell you on the show. Because Glenn is not, I'm sorry to offend you, you're not a great actor all the time because you don't pretend that you've heard things for the first time when you've already heard them. So I am a terrible actress, and if you've already told me the story, I'm going to be like, yeah, you already told me that story, without thinking I should have probably pretended that I had never heard it. So anyway, Glenn actually starts the meeting with, I'll tell you on the show. I'm like, oh, this is going to be juicy, because he never holds anything back, ever. This is going to be good. I can't wait. I'm excited.
Well, a little later in the show, we'll talk about that. But first, you know, we always like to get the show started with some, you know, some excitement, and there was excitement at the Santa Anita Handicap over the weekend.
The big cap, if you will.
Yeah, they call it that, right? The big cap.
It's the big cap.
Well, one of the horses that I loved last year, Game On Dude, decided to run in that race and did a good job. It's a $750,000 race. It was held on Saturday. And, of course, Game On Dude's ridden by now Hall of Famer Mike Smith. Used to be ridden by my girlfriend, but not anymore. Probably a good thing, too, by the way.
Yeah, it all worked out in the end for them.
You want to hear the race?
Yes.
Let's take a listen. Here we go. It'll take it a second to start, like everything else. I press on this player for some reason. There we go.
The Santa Anita Handicap sent on their way to a perfect
break. I like
break.
This announcer.
Game On Dude smooth into stride today, and Game On Dude racing down the center of the track will take the early lead. Now dashes over towards the rail. Handsome Mike is on the inside of him. Here's Giltra pulling pretty hard in the pink colors. Clubhouse Ride is right there as well. Ron the Greek trying to stay in touch today is down at the rail, only 4.5 off the leaders. Alongside Call to Serve, then Stefan Otsi. Deacon Speakin was in tight earlier, and Deacon Speakin has dropped back. And at the back we have Richard's Kid, who's a good 12 off the leaders. Past the 7/8 they go, and Game On Dude out where he likes to be. Nice and relaxed today. Game On Dude and Mike Smith take them along 2.5 to Handsome Mike. Call to Serve is right there in third. Clubhouse Ride on the far side. Ron the Greek now 5 off that leader. Giltrip is up alongside of him. Stefan Otsi in the green cap is now 8 lengths off the leaders. In behind that comes Deacon Speakin. Looks like he settled, slipped forward in that trouble after the start. And last of all comes Richard's Kid. Richard's Kid a good 14 off the lead. Past the half mile they go now, and it's Game On Dude breezing along on the lead. Game On Dude and Mike Smith clear by 3 as they go into the turn. Clubhouse Ride comes to take him on early now. Handsome Mike is there. Giltrip, Call to Serve, losing ground. Ron the Greek now 6 off the leader. They are coming to the quarter pole, and Game On Dude has not taken a deep breath yet. It is Game On Dude. Mike Smith just pointing him in the right direction. Homeward bound in the big cap. Game On Dude is now turning it into a procession. Big run from Clubhouse Ride in second. Ron the Greek third. But just absorb this one. This is a moment of history. Game On Dude. Perhaps the easiest winner in history of the big cap. Game On Dude and Mike Smith cantering in. Club Ride and Call to Serve in a photo for second.
Woohoo! That was fantastic. So he won by a record-breaking 7.75 lengths. Okay, now Game On Dude won this race 2 years ago, but he won by a nose. So this was a huge victory, the largest margin in, what did you say, 74 years, Glenn?
Yeah, this has been running for actually 76 years, and it was the largest margin. And he was right, the announcer, I love that announcer, by the way. He was right, it looked like Game On Dude was just a gentle lope across the finish line. He was way out there. Yeah,
that's fantastic. You know, of course, the people, this is the race that Red Pollard rode Seabiscuit in at the end of the movie to come back and win the race after he had already broken his leg. So, oh my God, this is a very storied race, and to be a part of it and to win that race and then to set a record. Holy cow, it's awesome.
Very good. Well, Jennifer's going to lead the first guest here today. Jennifer, who do we have on the line?
On the line today, we have Macy, who has been on our show before. Member of the outgoing United States Pony Club's Youth Council, and she is here to tell us about the new e-membership that the United States Pony Clubs has just started, and at last, the Pony Club, the last holdout, the last vestige of old-fashioned horsemanship is now joining the digital age, and we are so happy.
Good morning.
Good morning, Macy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for stopping by and being with us this morning. Now, e-membership, when was this or when will it be started? When is that available?
You can sign up today on the website itself.
On the website itself. And what is the website?
It is ponyclub.org. And if you go to, let's see, if you just Google e-membership, it will come up.
Oh, how cool. Now, what does one get with an e-membership?
Well, recently we've made the transition to creating a login to reach some of the resources that Pony Club has created and accumulated over the years. So as an e-membership, you have access to all of that information that's now password-protected on the website, as well as access to the Pony Club news magazine, the Pony Club blog, the bookstore. You get some of the member promotions with the companies that sponsor us, because now you're associated with Pony Club. And then you can be invited to things such as the annual meeting, local, you know, if your local club decides to invite you to something, you're more than welcome to come and participate in unmounted activities and just learn more about Pony Club without making the complete commitment.
So is the e-membership a separate membership than what you, for example, would have? Is it completely separate, or is there overlap? How does that work?
There is some overlap when it comes to, like, the access to the materials and invitations to the annual meeting, things like that. However, the e-membership is $15, and my membership as an active member is more than that, and I can participate in the riding activities because of the insurance.
Aha. So this is a great program for horse-crazy youth, and youth goes up to age 25. Is the age group the same for e-membership?
I believe anyone can be an e-member.
Oh, so even adults can be e-members?
Yes.
That would be kind of cool. If you haven't done that already, Mr. President, please include that in the e-membership, that adults can do it too. Just saying. but so it's very inexpensive. It's great for people who are horse crazy and want to have access to great information and social media, who maybe are not able to participate in ridden activities because they don't have a horse, or
right.
who can't because of geography. You live in the middle of nowhere and don't own a horse trailer. Now, one of the things that intrigued
Hello.
Me about... Hello.
That's the way that it is in this area. I live in the West Valley of Phoenix, and the closest Pony Club, because I've tried to get some of my students involved, is about 2 hours away. And it's just too far. So this is a fantastic way for them to get involved with Pony Club, and I'll suggest it to them, and without them having to drive 2 hours, you know, every Saturday, which is just not going to happen.
Exactly.
And what about this Pony Club pizza? What's with the pizza?
It's the slogan is Pony Club Pizza, where we pile on the knowledge. And it's a running blog. Members submit to it. One really interesting series we had was Wayne Quarles, who works in the national office, actually officiated at the Pan American Games. And so he wrote a blog about his experience there. And it's a neat place for information about what's happening in Pony Club, what's happening outside of Pony Club. It's a fun blog.
Well, that's very interesting, because then folks who are involved in Pony Club, for example, Wayne, who I think has been there since Pony Club was invented in 1922.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we love Wayne.
they can talk about their experiences in equine activities, but outside of Pony Club, and that's going to be really interesting. Now, what about the social media? Pony Club has a Facebook page?
Pony Club does have a Facebook page, and they're very active. They post all sorts of interesting things, share things from other horse sites. So I would encourage everyone to go follow them, whether you're a Pony Clubber or not. It's a fun thing to follow.
Cool. So and then they've got bookstore stuff. Now, one goes to ponyclub.org to sign up, and it's $15, and you can pay right there online. Is that right?
Correct.
And it's 1 year from when you sign up?
Yes.
It's 1 year from when you sign up. Makes it easy. All righty. Well, thank you so much, Macy, for stopping by. H.A. Pony Clubber and college student, and you are studying where?
I'm studying at Hollins University in Roanoke, Virginia.
Burr. Is it cold there right now?
You're about to get a storm.
Yeah, it's very cold. I feel very bad that I clipped my horse this week.
But you'll be thankful when it warms back up again.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for stopping by, Macy. We appreciate you taking time out of your college studies and getting up so very early for a college student. It is well before noontime right now.
And thank you for having me.
You're doing a great Bye, job me. For us, and we look forward to hearing from you again soon.
All right. Take care.
Well, there you go. If you want to learn some more, check out the Pony Club's e-membership. So, Jennifer, you can get brushed up on everything you've forgotten since you were in Pony Club.
Yeah, and there's plenty of it.
Well,
I love the pizza blog. I'm going to go read that.
There you go. Pony Club pizza. I like that, too. Before we get off of the subject of racing, I do have to mention that our adopted racehorse, Mucho Macho Man, will miss the Gulfstream Park Handicap. He was scheduled to run against Fort Larned, who was the one, if you remember right, in the Breeders' Club Classic. It was those two that came down the finish line together, and Fort Larned beat Mucho Macho Man. And this was going to be the first time that they raced against each other since the Breeders' Cup Classic. But unfortunately, it was announced that Kathy, the trainer, said that Mucho Macho Man had been diagnosed with a mild virus and will not enter him in the Gulfstream Handicap. So he's going to be out for a little while longer.
Well, and I just saw on Facebook, Glenn, that along with two of the stablemates, they're being transported to the Fair Hill Training Center in Elkton, Maryland. And it says, Mucho says on his page, that it is a state-of-the-art equine facility on 350 acres of rolling hills. They do have two racetracks there, and he's going to continue to walk and rest for the next couple of days before resuming his training schedule there. Now, the picture they have of this place in Maryland is, again, it's on Mucho Macho Man's Facebook page, and it is this. It looks like Kentucky, like a Morton barn in the background, plank fencing, tall green grass, and then you realize that it's in Maryland right now, which would be a totally different picture. probably cloudy skies, white fluffy snow
brown
on the
grass.
Ground, brown dead grass. If you could even see it through all the snow. So nice picture of it in the spring.
Interesting that they went there to do, you know, to train into the spring. It's not something you usually hear about. Fair Hill is a nice facility. And, of course, it's right next to the Fair Hill Park where they have the Fair Hill 3-day in the fall. So,
yeah.
It
surprised me that it must not be that big of a deal, the virus, because – usually if you have a horse that has a virus, you're not going to move them to a huge training center, so it must not be contagious.
Speaking of viruses, the 7th Marion County Ocala facility was quarantined on Friday after another horse tested positive for EHV1. And now there is more bad news, too. One of the ones, remember I talked about Friday, they had like five more that had tested positive. Well, one of those has now developed neurological symptoms and has been shipped off to the to the University of Florida up in Gainesville. So we do have one that has actually come down with the neurological symptoms. That's the second one now in Ocala. So Hits Fairgrounds, where all of the jumping takes place here in the wintertime, and you go over there, it's an unbelievable place. The Hits Showgrounds, which is above Ocala, is where all the jumpers are. There must be, what, Jennifer, 25 rings, and there are horses everywhere. I mean, it is just like this circus of horses. And that's every day up there, and they got shows almost every day, but they have been quarantined. The entire facility has been quarantined. If you come in, you cannot go out. So if your horse is already on the grounds, it can't leave, and if you bring your horse in to go show, they're still running the events. But if you bring your horses in, they cannot leave until the quarantine's over. And there are, I think, 8 or 9 facilities, farms here around Ocala that have now been quarantined. And as Dr. Jones said, did confirm that the quarantine is 21 days. So that's a long time. When you think about it, that's 3 weeks. You know, that's a long time.
Especially if you're at a show facility where there's no turnout, no pasture. You know, my horse would go crazy if they were not allowed any turnout for that long. So just don't go.
Not to mention the cost. You know what they charge per day at those show facilities to keep your horse there.
Oh, my God. That's true. Well, people that go there right now, they don't care.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you had planned to come down, you were going to show for 1 week and then leave, and then they put you under quarantine?
Yeah, for 3 weeks? Ugh.
I'm sure it's happened.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's happening all the time. So things are, they're starting to adjust things that are happening around Ocala with other disciplines, like eventing is real big here right now. And some of the training, they're not taking the horses out. The trainers are coming in. They're really making some adjustments to accommodate this, you know, what really is a lot of horses. I mean, now with 7 or 8 horses that have tested positive, that's a lot of horses in one area. So they are making adjustments. People are taking it seriously. Well, speaking of horses' health, let's take a break for our title sponsor for today's show, and that's Omega Alpha Equine. And then we're going to be back with one of our favorite guests on the show.
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance, and they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship, whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created 3 different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters, Chill Ultra Paste, with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium, and Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares, and you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Thank you again to Omega Alpha Equine for their continuing support of Horses in the Morning. And Jennifer, I like that line, and you know who you are. That was pretty good. I like that. We have our next guest coming up today is a regular on the show, and we enjoy having Debbie Laux, Monty Roberts' daughter, with us on a regular basis. She's co-hosted, filled in for Jamie at times. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
I'm always amazed at how bright and shiny you sound at 6 o'clock in the morning there in California.
By 9:30, there you go.
Nap time.
He takes a nap.
Welcome back, Debbie.
How are you both?
Hey, we're great. We're great. It's so nice to have you back. It was nice to chat with you again last week. And you have a project that you wanted to talk to us about, but do you want to introduce your guest?
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. Dr. Sue Kane should be on the line here, too, and she co-authored, she did the heavy lifting on all these things, but she inspired me a couple of years ago to get out and get on track with Monty Roberts' original book, Man Who Listens. Sue Kane works with the Corporate Learning Institute in Chicago, of all places, far from us as you can get. But she flew all the way out, took a course with us, and she is amazing. She's a horsewoman, and she is multiple decades, I won't age her here, of doing training with corporate types, with ropes courses, experiential. She's one of the most inspiring people you'll ever meet. She's Midwest, and I love her. Sue Kane.
Well, that's too kind. I don't know how I'm going to live up to that. Hi, everybody. Hi, Glenn.
Good morning, Sue. Welcome to the show. Yeah, she can introduce people, can't she?
She's really good. I don't know. Now I've got to somehow make up for that and figure a way out to be as good as that intro. Yeah.
Well, the book you guys co-authored is called Life Lessons from the Man Who Listens to Horses, A Guide to Inspire Your Own Journey. Tell us about the book, Sue.
Well, the book came about because as a business person, I'm always curious about training, using training information from non-business contexts. Most people in corporate America organizationally hear a lot of corporate speak. They go to trainings that are pretty staid and pretty predictable.
And a few of those.
You know what I mean. So
yeah,
stories from the other world, Ernest Shackleton, that was a perfect case examples. Harvard's business school still using Ernest Shackleton as a icon, as a context for understanding effective leadership. So when I went to the reason I went out to meet Monty and Debbie, this is the truth, is that I could not believe this guy was for real, and I wanted to see if he was. I wanted to see if there was facade or there was a human being that really stood for what he was talking about. And I did find out that, in my mind anyway, that he is the real deal. And by that I mean an authentic leader. And I found that out by looking at his followers and interviewing them, talking to them informally, Glenn, walking around his paddocks and saying, what's it like to work here? What do you get in trouble for around here? How do you like this place? And this is the kind of leadership, this authentic leadership that he inspires, that I'm very curious about. And so I started thinking, huh, and not only me, but how about the millions of people that bought that original book, Man Who Listens? They were curious too. Most people that read that book were horse owners, didn't own a horse, aren't equestrians. I don't know. Were they, Debbie?
No. Sure.
No. So what is the issue? Why is he so compelling and an interesting subject matter outside the equine world? What's that about? I became very consumed by that, Glenn.
Well, that is where we all learned about Monty, and that book, and many of us still have that book on our shelf today. And you know, that really was his guide to horsemanship. Was through that book is where we learned about that. And I assume that this book takes that to the next step or looks at how it's applied to life over time. I have not read it yet, so.
Yeah, Debbie, you want to take that one or no?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'll just introduce you with it. I think the perspective that Sue had that inspired the book was, hey, you know, if so many people have taken these different chapters and found themselves in each one of them, then surely that the corporates that have come and listened to Monty and watched a join, if they were touched by it, they could drill down deeper. And I think that drill down is where Sue really helped us out with the book, chapter by chapter. How did you do that?
Yeah, right. So what I did is Debbie came in one day, and I was teaching a doctoral-level business class on organizational leadership, Glenn. And we put the book in front of all my students. Said there were about 20, 25 students, I'd guess, in that doctoral level program. And we gave them everybody got a copy of the original book, Man Who Listens. And we didn't know what to think because most of my students are far from the equine field, which absolutely nothing to do. Maybe they've seen a horse or petted a horse, or maybe they've, you know, actually been lucky enough to ride a horse, but not many were, you know, beyond that threshold of introduction to the equine world. Well, they were all captivated by the book. And we had them write field guides on why they were captivated, what those issues were. So we gathered what we call in the research world qualitative evidence that the book was still compelling. And it occurred to me that maybe the book needs to be brought back out. And it occurred to me that maybe it's so useful that we should shout out some of the key lessons from the book. And so that's how it came about. And we went about interviewing, I don't know, Debbie, many people around the world about their perspectives. You know, what was so compelling about this book? What is the X factor from this book?
Yeah. And you're a horsewoman,
right?
Too. Tell me what you thought about the horses bridging that gap. I'd love to hear that because I know you're a horsewoman. I didn't introduce enough of that for you. You played polo.
Yeah, well, to me and for many people that we interviewed, this is interesting, Glenn and Debbie, to many people that we interviewed, they said that horse represents fear and the unknown and unpredictability. And to me, that's what the workplace is right now. And basically, and so it's a projective for many people. I'm not going to try to speak too clinically here, but many people see a horse as an opportunity to become afraid. And we had a lot of fun with that one because in our book, what we're doing is turning fear on its ear and saying, let's really take a look at the fear in your life. What are you going to do to face that? And how is it that you already have some skills that you've honed that can be very useful in calling out and using? And so to me, that's what the horse represents, particularly for people that aren't equestrians who really equate horses with charging elephants. You know, I mean, it's news to them that a horse is a flight animal, right? It's news to them. So when you try to make sense of that and you're not a horse person, it just doesn't come across the right way. So,
well, that's why I think that, you know, that's why I think that equine therapy has become so popular. It is dealing with, it's not only dealing with the fear people have of horses and overcoming that. By overcoming that, they're overcoming the fear of the challenges that they have in their life. Whether, you know, whether it's the returning veterans from war or people with certain handicaps, you know, that's why those programs have been so popular and why they have worked so well.
That's right. Bingo. That's exactly right.
I love how Sue developed a, it's a field guide, really. This book is a field guide. It's our opportunity to kind of crack open the man who listens again and figure out why it touches us. They've got these tools that that are developed now called personal strength shields, personal resilience checklists. Like, you know, there's this steps to defining your core values. So it's a lot of fun, too. It's definitely something you want to get your crayon out and dig down into the answers that you may not have thought about or maybe you should rethink about, too, which are a lot of fun, especially when you can make that application from your life in the horse world to your life in the human world, you know.
Yeah,
well, now,
for sure.
When, how long ago was it that The Man Who Listens came out? I hate to age us all, but...
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, 1996 in England. It came out first in England, of course. It took.
Did it? I don't remember that. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then Random House said, no. Okay. And then it went to the New York Times bestselling. Those publishers are funny that way. But it became a bestseller over in England first. And then at the same time that Nicholas Evans, who wrote The Horse Whisperer, that author in England was following that around when he put the Queen actually put him on the road in England. And so when Nicholas Evans decided to write this novel, then they came out almost at the same time. So everybody sort of equates that Horse Whisperer thing with what Dad was doing and bingo, The Horse Whisperer.
Yeah. Yeah, and I noticed that the Queen is on the cover of this book.
Yeah, it's strategic.
Quite a smart move.
It was a good move. But no, I think she really inspired. There would be, he says this every day, there would be no book, The Man Who Listens, there would be no conversation between us right now if it was not for the Queen. Without her recognition, he would have been, you know, a struggling trainer in California saying, no, I know it'll work, you guys. Stick with me here, you know.
It's funny that, Sue, when you mentioned, you know, wanted to see who the real person was, and, you know, we've had Monty on the show, a number of times. And in some situations that we put him kind of on the spot, and you get what you get with Monty. Monty is, you know, it's all out there. You know, and as I'm sure you learned when you went out and met him.
You mean, Glenn, yeah. Are you talking about the time that we put Monty on the air and told him that he had won an award from us and it was the hottest dad, hottest guy, and all he talked about was called hot my entire life.
It gives us all hope that as we age, maybe we can all be hot.
Yeah.
Hope.
Tell him she said that, Debbie.
We all have to work harder, everybody. Come on now.
Well, listen, from a personal perspective, The Man Who Listens to Horses came out to me in 1997. I got it in 1997. It came out in 96. And I just moved out of the house. I was 18 years old, and I needed inspiration. I needed a direction and a focus. And I really feel like that book really gave me kind of a big picture idea on how to move forward in a compassionate way in my life. And at that age, when you're 18, you're an idiot. And I really felt like it made me more of a resigned and a better listener to people than I had ever been. And then to be able to see Mr. Roberts at the Kentucky Horse Park, I got to see him do his thing, and there was no, you know, because you mentioned the Horse Whisperer, that's kind of what I think some people were expecting, and when he came out and did his round pen stuff, I mean, to me it was life changing, And it was real. It wasn't a man who went out and whispered into a horse's ear. It was like practical. And here's how you get the horse. Like, here's how you listen to these horses. This is what they're trying to tell you. And I still use all of those, like the four signs of submission. I still use that to this day when I'm working a horse, even just lunging a horse. And I'm like, oh, I've got the ear. Wait, he just dropped his head. Look, he's licking and chewing. Do you guys see that? Look, he's trying to get closer to us. It really shaped the way that I train and work with horses to this day. And I'm excited to read this book because if there's a life lesson that I haven't heard from Monty Roberts, I want to know it, you know.
Yeah, I think that's even the risk we ran, guys, is that the lessons are so personal. The ones that you think are important might not be the ones we highlighted in this book. And that's the risk you run with calling those out. It's almost like looking at the Mona Lisa and saying, here's why this is so powerful, you know? And you're like, well, okay, do we ruin the juju by calling this out, or is this actually a good thing that we're focusing on some
no,
key lessons?
If you've got him behind you, you know, you can't go wrong, I really think. You know, he's such an amazing and great guy, and it just, yeah, I'm going to get emotional. I can't. I'm too emotional anyway. Go ahead.
Yeah, cry it up, and we'll record
you know,
that. No. I think it's fascinating because everybody has a different perspective. And we're going to be posting, after the show, we're posting a question, how did life lessons impact you, on our Facebook page. Under facebook.com life lessons, you'll find it if you Google
first.
That.
I gotta read
read it first. How did the original book, life, you know, how did the original book, The Man Who Listens, impact you? And then, you know, if you read Life Lessons, how did that impact you? But we're so curious to know these personal experiences from The Man Who Listens.
And Debbie, isn't that the toughest thing you've had to deal with all these years, is that everybody is different and everybody takes something different out of it. So it's hard to nail down one or two things. As he's teaching to these groups, you know that there's 20% that are going, well, that's not what's important to me. This is the part of what's important to me. And it's hard to cover all those things in each session that he does. And it's probably one of the biggest challenges that any clinician has.
I guess. I think what he ends up doing, though, is just staying as simple as the horses are. So, you know, Sue and I took a bigger leap, I think, probably in deciding how to hone it down to one spot, becoming the Life Lessons book. What he does is shotgun, but he doesn't hope to make it make sense. The horses make it make sense because it's that authenticity that you're talking about, too, but that honesty of, hey, you might be somebody's overly aggressive, and we see this in the corporate world, or we see this in a veteran coming back from Afghanistan. They're overly aggressive. Everything is too big from them. They don't know how to tone down life again, you know. And the horse will say, oh, no way. I'm not getting close to you. There's no way I'm going to join up with you. I can't trust you. You're just too much. But you can also take that person who's just gone inside themselves. Corporately, their leadership skills have not come out. Let's take those veterans again. The one that's been so damaged, so untrusting, maybe one of the women that has gone through MST. And you know what I'm talking about if you've gone through it. So they are so inside themselves that the horse says, I'm not having anything from you. You don't have any leadership qualities. And horses are wonderful that way. They go to where they think they're going to be safe. And if you look like you don't even know where you're going in the round pen, they're not going to follow you. So people who've done a join-up will understand that that I'm talking about both ends of the spectrum, but a horse will read that intent, whichever end of the spectrum it is. So Dad stays, to answer your question, Dad stays really simple with these things and lets people see how that horse makes that decision to follow that person or not, whether they fear from that person or whether they just see no safety from that person. The horse still says it to the person. So as a visual, it's easy for him as a clinician to say, just watch this. And then the best thing he does, though, is interpret in the language of the horse what that horse is doing, and then he reacts to it, and then the horse reacts to him, and then we see so quickly that horse come around and say, aha, this guy knows my language. This guy knows what I'm trying to communicate here with him. I'm trying to trust him, but I'm not sure yet, you know. I hope everybody goes to MontyRoberts.com and, and watches a video on that. One of the things that came out of working with Sue is she has that, you know, that looking from the outside in, and helped us pick out some more videos for our website, myroberts.com, and said, you know, you need some more information for people. You're too close to it. And that's been a nice evolution, Sue. I've really appreciated working with you for that, too, and seeing how valuable this information is that Dad carries around in his head and is in his hands. And appreciate getting all that out.
Yeah, it's pretty intuitive for him. And what we all want to know in the outside world is how can we take advantage of some of that learning and apply it to our horses and our lives. And I think that's the, without messing that up, or you know, that's kind of the priority we face when we wrote this first book. We're writing
very
two
good.
More. We're writing two more, so feel sorry.
Oh, really?
Feel very sorry for us. Send chocolate our way.
Is this going to be, the next two are going to be a follow-up to this one, just covering more of the areas?
The next one is leadership lessons from the man who listens to horses. Uh-huh. And the final one is building effective collaboration with people from the man, kind of a team approach. And they're applicable to, they're going to be more story-related, a little more creative. This first book is really recalling the first seminal book. I felt strongly that it, not that I'm aging, but as I'm aging, that people my, you know, younger than me have not read the book and don't see it as relevant. And I just had to do something. Debbie and I put our heads together and said, yeah, we've got to put an exclamation point after that and underscore, read this, please. It's a wonderful book.
Well, where can they buy it? That's the most important question. Where can they buy it?
Yes. Debbie, you want to take that one?
Go for it. Well, Sue has this wonderful, I should thank him right here on air, Ron, her intern, who's put it up everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Where else is it, Sue?
We do. We have a burn and churn team. We have my son, Ben Kinnear, who is fabulous at transposing, taking our edited document and putting it live into an ebook framing. And then we have Ron Scubiz from our office at Corporate Learning Institute, who does a fabulous job of putting this out on the airwaves everywhere. So it's at Amazon. It's at, let's see, we just went through the Smashwords process. It's gonna be on iTunes if it's not already. You can buy the hard copy or you can download the ebook. The ebook is available for 99 cents, by the way, ding, 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 right now. We're going to leave it at that price for a while. Yeah.
Wow. So that's terrific.
All right. Hope you enjoy it. I do.
Yeah. It's fun. Sue, you are so fun to work with. And Glenn, thank you for letting us tell everybody about it, too. I hope everybody will go get their copy and share it with those people who actually need it. I know none of us actually need it, but the people need it.
It's funny you said that because my wife just wrote in our notes here, we have a friend who should be reading this, and she just wrote in our notes here, so-and-so should get this book. And I was just thinking, I'm going to be buying one for that person tomorrow. So
there you go. So funny.
You got to get it and read it. But I think when you do, you'll see that it's not so piercing. It's just really, it's really fun.
Right.
Okay. Good.
Right.
Corporate Learning Institute. Where can we learn more about that?
CorpLearning.com. That's very nice. You can go to any Google account or whatever you use to find things in your life, Bing, whatever you prefer, and go to Corporate Learning at CorpLearning.com. And we're all over. So the Corporate Learning Institute, Chicago, Illinois, you can't miss us. We're, not so hidden. But thank you for asking. That was very kind, Glenn.
No problem. And it's very nice of both of you to join us. Debbie, you can take your nap in about 10 minutes, okay?
Okay.
Thank you both. Find it at Amazon. And, of course, if you go to Amazon to buy the book, remember to stop by horsesinthemorning.com first and click on the Amazon link on the left side of the page. We appreciate that. It doesn't cost you any extra. We just get a little bit of a credit for it. And 99 cents. I mean, Jamie, you can't beat 99 cents at this point. So,
no kidding. That's a fantastic price for the book. So check it out. I know I'm going to download it and see what I can glean from it. But yeah, just go to Horses in the Morning and then click on Amazon. Glenn, have you been receiving the money from me, my Amazon shopping habit?
I have, I think. I noticed that we had a distinct rise in the amount of money we're receiving, especially from November and December, which I assumed was Christmas shopping. Was that all yours?
I would like to say November and December were some Christmas shopping, and also, you know, when I have to buy UltraGuard, I get it on Amazon.
No wonder.
Go to Horses in the Morning, click on the little Amazon button. You can go over and buy your UltraGuard there. But I've also been buying things for the nursery, so like the crib and then the giant 5-foot-tall giraffe that's in the room now, stuffed giraffe, and all these things came from Amazon. So if you've been getting a bump in the Amazon money that's coming to you, I would like a cut.
Okay. I'll look at which portion of that was yours. Might be all yours for all I know. Well, we're going to be back. We have Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation coming up. But first, we have our song, and I have Templeton Thompson from her Icy Blue Heart CD, a song called Tumbling Dice, and it's right after this word from one of our sponsors. Hi all, Glenn the Geek here, and we're excited to bring you a special offer for Horse Radio Network listeners from one of my favorite companies, and that is Audible.com. Audible.com is the premier provider of digital audiobooks. Audible has over 85,000 titles to choose from in every genre: thrillers, business, romance, comedy, sci-fi, sports, and so much more. Audible titles play on your iPhone, your Kindle, your Android, or more than 500 different devices that you can listen anytime, anywhere. My wife and I love Audible books. We have been a member of Audible since 2004 and have listened to over 100 books with Audible. What horse person, you know, who has time as a horse person to sit down and to read a book anymore? Yet, I found the time to listen to books on Audible. When I'm not listening to podcasts, while I'm riding, cleaning stalls, or at the gym, or driving, I'm listening to Audible books. And for the listeners of the Horse Radio Network, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/HRN. That's audibletrial.com/HRN for Horse Radio Network. And you can download your free audiobook and get your 14-day free trial today. If you can't remember that, just check out our website and you'll find a link to it right there. Enjoy your book. We know you will.
I'm alone, crap shooter.
And that is Tumble and Dice. I See Blue Heart CD is where you can find it, and it is by Templeton Thompson. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. And, of course, we thank them for their sponsorship. Check out OmegaAlphaEquine.com to learn more. And it is that time of the week. I don't know what's going to happen. We never know what's going to happen when we have Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation on with us. And Leslie, I would like to first of all say good morning to you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, are you as offended by the outcome of the ESMA Awards as I am?
Totally offended. Actually, you know, Horse Nation was nominated for Best Newcomer, and we got beat, I would have my panties in a wad over that were it not for the fact that our friends at Avention, which is this, they've been doing these super eventing tutorials. They just sort of got off the ground this year, and it's just fabulous. I look forward to their new videos every week. They won it, and I was pretty happy about that. So.
So you're lying, basically. So you're totally full of it right now.
What? No.
Listen. Are you one of those girls? If you got nominated for an Oscar, you'd be like, "Oh, it's just such an honor to be nominated in a category with such wonderful people." What a lie.
No, I'm genuine.
These people from Avention are so much better than me that I'm happy they won because they're better than I am.
No, they're really good. I really like their stuff. They're so funny.
Whatever. Let me just tell you that Horse and Country TV, which comes on our show every week, I am mad at them for beating us. And RFD TV, they beat us too. Whatever. Who watches that show? That channel? Who cares? I can't even say that with a straight face. I watch that channel.
You would be like, you know, on the Miss America pageants where, like, the runner-up always has to, like, smile and you know, they're, like, holding back their tears and they have to hug the winner. But you would be, like, the girl who's, like, you know.
I'd be,
like,
you know who I'd be? I would be
the other
Faith
girl
Hill.
On stage.
I would be Faith Hill when Carrie Underwood won. Remember that best female vocalist and she, like, lost her mind in front of the camera? That's me. I'm not playing along. I will come up and kick Carrie Underwood in the shin.
Can I bring up why I think Leslie is so happy when she comes on the show here in the morning? And everybody should go to Horses in the Morning Facebook page or Horse Nation Facebook page, either one, because I just posted a picture that Leslie posted. Leslie won one of our mugs, one of our Horse Radio Network mugs with our cute little microphone horsey on it. And, you know, it's meant for coffee. It is a coffee mug, but apparently Leslie likes to add a little Bailey's to her coffee in the morning, which is why she always sounds so happy when she gets here.
Bailey's is so good in your coffee, especially in the wintertime. Oh, my gosh. That's so good.
I always thought she sounded a little silly at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Now you know.
Now I know. It does look good, wow. Though, with the Bailey's mug. It matches. The colors are it's complimentary.
It does.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know what? I'm just jealous that you get to drink Bailey's. I miss it so much.
Oh, bless your heart. I forgot it, but that's one of the downsides. Serious downsides of being pregnant, eh?
Let me tell you, it is the hugest downside, the biggest downside ever, because I don't even like beer all that much. I wake up in the middle of the night dreaming about beer. I don't know why. So it's a little bizarre thing. I don't know. I'm sure. We all have our cravings. Anyway, let's get to what you were actually calling about now that I've vented a little bit. Leslie, I actually commented on a section of Horse Nation because I was so blown away, number one, by the things that I saw. Number two, by the comments that people made. Talk to everybody about how much more insane people were back in the day.
I think they were more insane. So we had a post last week called 14 Insane Jumping Photos from Back in the Day. And by back in the day, we mean back in the day when horse people were crazy as crap. So we have these photos. I just dug around on the internet and started coming up with all of these photos of people. Basically, I think, we've got a horse jumping a car. We've got a horse jumping another horse. We've got a horse jumping a table, a horse jumping. These two guys have got their arms linked together. There's a photo that looks like it was from maybe a riding, some sort of riding instruction book of this woman jumping a fence. And the caption says, spiked palings with fixed barbed wire, 4 foot on the landing side. To arrive correctly at this is essential. Like, no kidding.
If you don't arrive correctly at this, you are going to die, and you're going to impale your horse. And I mean, it is a spike rail fence, like the little, like you would see when you're walking around in yard, like the little metal spikes that go straight up, and then on the back side of it is barbed wire. So it's like a barbed wire spike metal fence oxer. It's insane.
Oh my goodness. I think maybe the national pastime was just like, I mean, people were just like, let's set up, you know, let's see what our horse will jump. Maybe it will jump this car. Hey, you know, buddy, stand over here and let's see if, you know, it'll jump off a tower. Let's, you know, just, and of course nobody's wearing helmets, of course.
No helmets. And what's amazing is they didn't even have, Glenn, digital, like the most amazing digital photo technology. So they might have had to do it 5 or 6 times to get the picture. You know, like, oh, I was a little late snapping, you know, something like that. So there's some insane stuff. And people were commenting, there's the diving horses, which, not that I'm any sort of diving horse expert, but to me, you know, if a horse doesn't want to event, it's not going to event. If a horse doesn't want to jump a fence, it's not going to jump a fence. If these horses don't want to dive off these platforms, they're not going to dive. And to me, that was, everybody was like, oh, those are so cringeworthy. Those are the ones I cringe at, the diving horse photos. I'm like, those are the ones you cringed at? Please, the one with the 9-foot drop on the backside of the rail fence that they've been racing towards, and that's cringeworthy. The Oscar with the barbed wire is cringeworthy. The one where there's a horse that is jumping 3 other horses, and you can clearly see in the photo that there's no way this horse is going to make it. Just no way.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty bad for at least that last horse. Yeah. Not looking good.
My mom and dad actually got to see the jumping horses at Atlantic City there, the ones that you see are from the diving horses, I'm sorry, the Steel Pier Diving. And they did get to see that, and they said it was pretty crazy. But they said the horse just walked right up, you know, no problem, walked right up the ramp to get there. So they used the same horse for that for years and years and years. I forget what the horse's name was, but they used that same horse for years, and apparently the horse loved doing it. So probably got lots of treats at the end.
That's what it was curious is that people were asking on the comments was surely they wouldn't have beaten them in front of the crowd to force them up there. Well, no, I mean, there's no way I think that anybody would have a problem with that. No, this horse had to willingly gallop up that platform and jump off. I mean, we've all seen Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken, right? I mean, come on.
Right.
That's the movie about it. You've seen that, right?
Oh, yeah, Leslie? That's mandatory viewing. For any horse person.
Yes it is.
I found most disturbing the one that Jamie was talking about, the gray horse jumping over the gray horse, who they put between between an oxer so that he couldn't get loose and run away. But, you know, there's just so much. You got two horses that could end up dying in that situation. I just thought that was kind of irresponsible.
But you know who that horse is? It's that snowman horse.
That's
so
snowman.
Is it snowman? Okay.
Yeah, it's snowman. So I think if anybody can do it, it's that horse.
Yeah, no. I recognize that immediately as snowman, and I'm like, oh, he cleared it.
But you wonder what's going through that other horse's mind.
Yes, anyway.
Like, oh, my. Really?
Well, the fourth one down is the one, Glenn, with the one horse jumping the 3 other horses, and the 3 horses look very freaked out.
Yes, they do.
And I'm not sure. I do not feel confident that those horses are going to be okay.
No.
No, I do. I'm pretty sure that that horse did not clear. You can see the little dirt poof at the bottom, like very way too close to the first horse where he took off.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, he chipped in. That's bad. Yeah. Well, that's at horsenation.com. What else has been popular on Horse Nation this week?
Let's see. Well, you know, we've got this no stirrup challenge going. That it's not too late for anyone to join in. Basically, we had a bunch of readers pledge to give up stirrups for Lent, which is 46 days this year, and we are 2 weeks into that. And every week we check in with our readers just to see how everyone's going, how everyone's doing, how everyone's feeling, and give a little motivation, and you know, make sure everyone's still hanging in there. And we've gotten some really, so we did that this week, We had some really encouraging comments.
You know, the comments made me want to give up my stirrups. I'm not going to, but I could see where it would be something that would be good. I mean, the comments that people made were like, you know, they've dropped their stirrups. They've been rocking it, found their seat bones, stronger lower legs, just those kind of things that all riders need.
It's for real, you know. I'm doing it myself, and this is the second time I've taken the challenge, and I just take my stirrups off my saddle, so there's not even any temptation there, and it gets easier and easier. You know, the first week is always just heck. You know, you're sore every day, and you just kind of I'll go on a trail ride today, but then it just starts, you know, your body just adjusts, and so now it doesn't even feel like a big deal, you know, to do a ride for 45 minutes or an hour with no stirrups. So,
No big deal
I'm
for
proud
you.
Of everybody.
I love it. Maybe next year I'll be able to give it up for Lent. I'm a little too top heavy right now to be doing anything like that.
We'll wait until next year for you. Yeah.
Cool. Well, everybody check it out. That's at horsenation.com. And then tell us about your video of the day. This, I don't even understand what this is.
Yeah, you know, a couple months ago, I think it was in December, this video was circulating around the web from about this sort of horse. It's kind of a horse-inspired robot. Developed by Boston Dynamics, that's being funded by the Army Research Laboratory, and it was this horse that the video is basically like the horse is programmed to sort of stalk people. So it has this video of this robot horse kind of like stalking this person through the woods, and it like goes over logs and it falls down, it gets stuck in the creek, and it like gets out. It's crazy. And so they just released this new video of, I guess, the newest model of the robot horse. I don't think it's actually called a robot horse, but it definitely bears resemblance to a horse. And this one has a new skill set. It can pick up heavy objects and hurl them. So in this video, we have this horse kind of robot, and it picks up a cinder block, and it's kind of like prancing. It kind of, I don't know, I mean, it's like sort of prances like a horse, like it kind of passages, and then it just takes the cinder block and hurls it across the room, and it's scary. It's scary. Where are they going with this? You know?
I'll tell you what. It freaked me the heck out. And maybe that's just because I watch too many sci-fi movies where the robots take over the world. But this freaked me out. I watched this and went, oh, my God. And, you know, this is the same place that has done the prancing donkey and the, you know, the dog-like creature that's a robot. It's all Boston Dynamics. And, wow, this one just freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah. Like,
these horses
aren't
dangerous enough. We got this to do.
I know. When the robots turn on us someday, I'm a big
they're
going to
have a horse to ride. We're going to have robots riding robotic horses that can crush you with their teeth. It's not good.
They say the article that they wrote was news. Robot horse will stalk you. Fall down, get up, and keep stalking.
Audrey.
I don't want that to exist in this world, okay?
No.
Frightening. But no, I think, you know what, if it's on our side and we're using it for, like, military stuff, I mean, it is a picture of a horse, basically looks like a pack horse, a robot pack horse. They do need to make it a little cuter, you know, like put some skin on it and stuff, because right now it's all robot. And it's grabbing cinder blocks in its mouth, flinging them over, like you can think, like, in a battle, like, they have to go rescue some people trapped under mortar. Or
Jamie,
trapped
Jamie,
under
the
a building.
The problem is, this is the problem. Have you heard about the stories recently of the Chinese hacking every institution we have? You have these robots out there fighting for us on the field until the Chinese hacks their software and they turn on us.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, Glenn, I do think you watch too many movies. And, Glenn, I think you watch too much Fox News. You got to lay off the Fox News, dude.
They're going to turn on us, I'm telling you. They're going to turn on us.
I've seen Battlestar Galactica. I know what's going to happen.
I know
what's coming down the pipe.
You know what's coming. See, I like you. Zombie
That's
robot
weird.
Donkey. That's what it's going to be.
All right. Well, you can find Robot Horse on horsenation.com. He does, I must admit, have a nice pee off. So at least he's got that going for him. All right.
Thank
well,
you,
Leslie, thank you very much. I won't hold the fact that you're only third best in the Newcomer Awards. You're only third. So I think we were seventh, so it's all good.
Oh,
you still beat us.
I voted for you guys.
Thank you.
Yay. Okay. Take care.
See you,
Leslie.
Week. You
Bye.
Too.
Talk to you next week. Yikes.
Hackers. That's the problem with robot donkeys. Hackers.
You're insane.
Robot
you
donkey.
Watch way too much TV.
I'm a living
gotta
dead.
Gotta get outside. Walk that dog more often.
So I get this. So you want to hear about my weekend?
Yes, I've been dying to hear why you were associated
with
the
It's not as exciting as
office.
Jennifer made. It's not as exciting as Jennifer made it out to be. But it was kind of surprising on Saturday. I had thought about I got to do something fun this weekend. And Jennifer and I needed some time away from each other. So she went and did something fun on Friday, which you probably should talk about a little bit. That's horse related. And then Saturday, I was going to do something fun. Well, Saturday afternoon, I get this call from the Red Cross. You know, I volunteer for the Red Cross. And they said, oh, we might need your help today. And I'm looking out the window, and it's like sunny and 70 degrees and no hurricanes, no tornadoes, no flooding, just beautiful day. And I said, what could you possibly need my help with today? And they said, well, we might have to set up a shelter and help with feeding firefighters. Well, anybody that's been in Ocala knows the Ocala National Forest is huge. It's a big, big place. It runs from Ocala all the way over to Daytona. It takes an hour to drive through it. And we had about 30-mile-an-hour winds on Friday and Saturday, and they had a fire kick-up that consumed about 500 acres and, unfortunately, a bunch of houses and stuff. So they opened up a Red Cross shelter. And I went out and helped get it started, and we brought meals and stuff out to the firefighters at the fire. We were about a half mile from the fire.
Wow.
How they do that, I don't know, because the smoke where we were, you couldn't see 100 feet in front of you. The smoke was so thick. I don't know how they're in that all day, every day, fighting those forest fires. It's beyond me, because I my eyes were watering, I was coughing, and I was only there for, 2 hours. But then we went back to the shelter, and I got evening duty. So we had a bunch of people in the shelter. And so it was me and a deputy sheriff from the Marion County Police Department that were manning the shelter that night. Everybody else went home to take over the next day. And it was just the two of us. And when you're manning a shelter like that, you have to stay awake. You can't sleep yourself because other people might be coming in. And we got everybody to bed, put them to bed in another room, and we're sitting there going, okay, this is going to be a long night because there was no TV, there was no anything. It was just the two of us at midnight looking at each other going, 6 o'clock is going to be a long time away. Well, he said, wait a minute, you're going to love this, Jamie. You have your computer, and I have all the seasons of Big Bang Theory on DVD.
Oh, my God, kill me.
So it was
I'll
me and a deputy sheriff.
I'm going to go run into the fire.
Me and the deputy sheriff watched 6 straight hours of Big Bang Theory. Got us through the night.
You have got to be kidding me. I choose death.
You'd rather be in jail? Is that it?
You know what? They give you the choice of, like, the torture or death. Give me death.
So we got through the night and stayed awake. I got to tell you, this pulling all-nighters when you're my age, at you know, the late age I am, is tougher than it used to be. Definitely tougher than it used to be.
Of course it's tough. I full watched when I lived in Kentucky and I was 19. I couldn't make it through a whole night.
You know, when you get to about 3:30, 4 in the morning, it gets tough. It really does. Even with a 5-hour energy drink, I was pushing it at about 3:34, and he was too, and he works the night shift. And I got to thinking, you know, those police cars you sit alongside the road when you have to get up and go to a horse show at 4 in the morning, and you drive by and you wonder if they're actually in there sleeping. Judging from what I saw, probably yes, they're in there sleeping at 4 in the morning.
I've got to ask, though. I mean, like, if I was faced, well, first of all, Glenn, thank you so much for volunteering. That is just a selfless act, and it's just awesome that you do that. I've got to say, though, that if I was sitting there, and we're talking, like, first of all, the whole thing sounded very enticing. You're in a room with a bunch of hot, sweaty firemen that are taking off their clothes and laying down for a nap. I mean, that's awesome, number one. Number two, if I was faced with sitting in there with hot, sweaty firemen for a whole entire night, I would be like, I'm in. Let's do this. The third thing that would happen, 6 hours of the Big Bang Theory. Here we go. I'd be like, that's it. That's okay. I'll leave. I'll go. But,
you would give up hot, sweaty firemen for that?
Hot, sweaty firemen, I it's no match for the Big Bang Theory. I am out the door. See you later. Sorry.
I got to tell you, they work hard. You know, those firemen, you know, we did have almost 20 people that lost their homes. The fire was spreading so fast that they, you know, they did everything they could to save the homes, and it was spreading so fast. And the people who live in the forest are they've been there forever. And these are people usually who don't want a lot of connection with the outside world. And, you know, it's just a little bit different place to live. And the one policeman I talked to, a very nice female cop from Marion County, who was very happy to get coffee because by then it was getting down into the 30s, and we were out at the lines there, and she had just gotten back.
Just get closer to the fire.
She said, I got the most bizarre thing just happened to me. I said, what? She said, we were trying to evacuate people from their homes, and I pulled into this driveway, and this guy sitting in front of his house with no shirt on, okay, sitting in front of his house in a lawn chair with no shirt on. The fire's coming up his backyard, and he's sitting there with the sprinkler system going, drinking a beer in a lawn chair. And she said, sir, you've got to leave right now. The fire's in your backyard. It's going to get your house shortly. And he's like, my sprinklers are going to save this house. And she said,
I had to
drag him to the police car. She said, he's sitting there with no shirt. It's freezing cold. The sprinklers are going. He's soaking wet. And he's got a beer, and he was not leaving his house. And unfortunately, he did lose his house because she said, as we were driving down the driveway, the winds were 30 miles an hour, she said that the fire had come over the house and was chasing us down the driveway. So,
my gosh.
I know. Some of the stories they had were incredible. But I just pity the people that, you know, that we met that did lose their homes. And, you know, it's something, you know, it does put things into perspective when you deal with situations like that. And the fire is still going, as far as I know, and we hope that they can get them under control today.
Fantastic. Well, again, thanks for volunteering, and thanks to all those guys for putting their life at risk just to save crazy forest people. People of the woods.
Could you just picture that, though? You can just see the guy sitting in his chair, you know? You can picture it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we hope that we don't lose any more homes out there. Fortunately, as far as I know, nobody was hurt. So let's keep it that way. Jennifer, you did something real quick. You did something that you should talk about a little bit. You got to see a demonstration of something that we've all seen the pictures of, but you actually got to see it demonstrated on Friday.
Yes, I was over at the Carriage Museum of Florida, and the American Driving Society had their annual meeting there, and they had Susan Harris, storied and published author, over, and she did her inside-out horse demonstration where they paint the horse's skeleton and muscular system on a light-colored horse, and then they put the horse to work doing whatever it does, in this case driving. And Susan goes through the different muscle systems and different skeletal systems and how they work and how they interact with each other when the horse is actually doing things, which is really, it was a really cool demonstration to see how different groups of muscles, when they stretch or contract, can either help or hinder a horse in his job. It was a very fascinating demonstration.
Now, what did they actually put a harness on the horse so you could see where the parts of the harness and what parts
yes.
they affect on the inside?
Yes. First, they lunged him in just a bridle so you could see the horse's natural movement and how all the parts work together. And then they put him in harness and drove him around and single so you could see, A, where the parts of the harness contacted the horse, and also how those different muscle and skeletal parts would interact with each other and how poorly fit in harness. And you could see where they would say, well, when the saddle pinches the horse's back, you could actually see which parts and how they were connected to each other, why they make other parts sore. And it was really fascinating to see it moving, because most of us have a lot of exposure to printed material or online material of the horse's insides, but to watch them moving dynamically in the actual discipline that you are involved in was really interesting.
It did sound fascinating.
I've seen some of that stuff going around on Facebook right now, and it is very, very cool to see. And what a talented artist. I mean, that's a canvas that's moving, you know?
Yeah.
How long did it take the person to paint? Did you get to see her paint it on the horse?
I got there too late in the morning because I had stuff here to do at the office, but it does take a couple of hours to get that all done, yeah. And it takes a couple of days to wash it off, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. She said it will come off on the harness, but it'll come washed off too.
Yeah, I wonder if they have to make it so it doesn't sweat off, you know? Sorry, Glenn,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No problem. You got to do something else while you were there too, and you were almost as fascinated by the museum you got to see.
I finally actually got through the front doors at the Grand Oaks Carriage Museum, which I thought, well, that'll be cool. It's nearby. It's carriages. Glenn loves carriages. Carriages are cool. So I was really not all that excited about going to see it. But once I went in, and I spent probably about 2 hours in there, this is a must-see for everyone who comes to the Ocala area. Must-see. It is amazing.
Yeah, they have some carriages.
Amount of research they put into it, all those silly questions you have about carriages and how they fit into the Industrial Revolution, how they were made, who made them, the transition into automobiles, all that stuff is there. It's just so much more than carriages.
And you were most impressed by, you remember, you know, Jamie, how sometimes they put the fake plasticky horses in front of the carriage in museums? Well, they took this to the next step. You really liked the horses they had there. They weren't the fake plasticky kind.
No, they were
they
custom
like,
made by a sculptor. Yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't like it was like Trigger stuffed or anything.
No. They are made out of, I assume, fiberglass. But they do have real manes and tails. But they have a piece on the artist who made them. They cost approximately $3,500 a piece to have them made.
Nice.
They were modeled after real horses. They took measurements, took photographs, yada, yada, yada. And the horses have different expressions and different shaped lips. And their ears are different on the different ones. If you take them out of context in a good picture, you wouldn't know it wasn't a real horse.
Yeah, she showed me some of the pictures. I didn't get to go, unfortunately, but we are going to go to that museum for sure. But she showed me some of the pictures, and you could not tell that they weren't real horses in the pictures. It was really cool. Well, you can find that, actually, if you go to thegrandoaks.com is where the Carriage Museum is. It's just south here. It's between here, Ocala, and Orlando, about halfway in between the two. So if you came into Orlando, you could go to it, too. It's a beautiful property. But you can find it at thegrandoaks.com. And we're running out of time for today, Jamie. We'll be back on Wednesday. Don't forget, it's Wheel of Trivia on Wednesday. Call in at 905 to get in line to win hundreds of dollars in prizes. You can call 347-637-3238. And, Jamie, you had somebody asking about where they can buy one of those mugs to pour their own Baileys in it, right?
Yes, people on Facebook, they saw Leslie's mug, and they want Baileys in their own Horse Radio Network mug. So what is the website?
It's hrnstore.com, hrnstore.com. You can buy your mugs over there. And that's it for today. We'll be back on Wednesday. Jamie, you take care.
Thank you very much, Glenn. You too, and everybody. Hug your puppy dog today, and don't forget spay, neuter, and geld, okay?
HRNstore.com.